We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas of Miami Heat Beat, and I'm here to introduce you to our newest part, which, like us, and if you know me, you know how Miami I am. This is pure South Florida, and it's Doral Toyota, where you can find all your favorite Toyota models. Whether you're looking for a new, used, or certified pre-owned vehicle, Doral Toyota is located at 9775 Northwest 12th Street, just a few blocks from the International and Dolphin Mall. Experience the Doral difference, which means 4 years complimentary maintenance and roadside assistance on all new vehicles. And let me tell you something, that peace of mind, you cannot buy that. I mean, I know when I got a new car and it wasn't at Doral Toyota, I was upset because of how many problems I was having, and I was wishing I had something like this, a dealer being accountable and helping me. Also, if you mention Miami Heat Beat when you call 305-680-1129 or come in, you'll get to work with a dedicated manager, not a salesperson. So it's someone who's high up, who's willing to work with you and just mention us. They'll help you out. Unlike other dealers, Doral Toyota prides itself on honest and transparent buying service. That's Doral Toyota. DoralToyota.com or stop in at 9775 Northwest 12th Street. Se habla español aquí en Doral Toyota. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have a producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Hello, second time this week.
Second time this week, we're rolling and going. We have lots to say because the Heat have made us angry and we have takes. We have our Heat Twitter president, Alf.
Hello.
And we have our trash tweeter, Jack Alfonso.
Whatever.
You can check us out at the Five Reasons Sports Network. Check out our other hosts of shows, from Light Skinned Opinions to Smark Your Territory to our newest show, Out for the Count. It's a boxing show, so check that out if you like the fight game. Check out Light Skinned Opinions if you want to hear Alf yell at people. Check out Smark if you like wrestling or 3 yards per carry or swings and misses, or Ethan's show with Chris Whittingham, which we love to slander, but they do good work. So check out all their stuff at the network, at Five Reasons Sports on Twitter, Instagram, and everywhere. So, boys, Miami Heat play probably the most frustrating game of the season against the Hawks at home. They remain winless in their vice jerseys, and they're horrible.
And was that the most frustrating game of the season?
I think so, man. I mean, the Hawks
at
home.
I think we all knew they were losing.
No, but dude, the Hawks at home for a second time, dude? Like, come on. They're like, you can lose to the Hawks once, and you'd be like, fine. Dog, you lose to the Hawks again?
Half the Hawks' wins are against the Heat this year.
Dude, yeah. Like the Hawks have like 40% of their wins against Miami. Like, come 50%. On. Smart loss, though. Feeling. Smart. That's a big loss for the Tankathon.
Small sample size.
Small sample size, but you know, big loss for
the Tankathon. Or is that a big win?
It's a win.
I guess.
For Tankathon, it's a win.
Yeah. It's a big win that was a loss.
It's a loss for all of us who enjoy like aesthetically pleasing basketball.
You know what? Like, I think it was
Winslow checked into the game.
Shando and Richardson said it was the worst high score game he's ever seen, which is so true. Dude, that Trae Young guy is good. I wish we had a nice rookie prospect like that.
Whoa! Oh wait, Bam's not a rookie.
It was a joke of Jay Rich being afraid of the moment. No, a couple things
he
from that.
He traveled on that shot, didn't he?
He totally traveled, like big time. I love how Eric Reed was just like upset about it.
Oh, it'd be funnier if he just got called for the travel and didn't even take the shot.
That would have been hilarious. I honestly, like, I would have preferred that to be the result. I actually would have preferred for him to travel and make the shot and then them call the travel.
Is that the same night Jimmy Butler hit the
no, game? That was the night before.
Let me tell you something. Listen, we love Mike Ryan and we love the Levitar Show. I don't like that every local hour, all he does is just say, well, look what Jimmy Butler did and look what Josh Richardson isn't doing. That's super annoying. Like Jack and I, we talked about that early in the season, but I just hate to hear that because Jimmy Butler's a million years old and he's not, like, Miami's not, was not going to be a contender with Jimmy Butler. And like they wouldn't have had any assets to make moves.
Especially not the deal that supposedly was the one that they were about to accept. That was going to be a bad deal.
I hate that. I'm so annoyed with the idea of like, oh, well, you know, everything that Jay Rich doesn't do. And then look what Jimmy Butler does. Like,
yeah,
that
but
is such
you want to do this deal for Bradley Beal. So, like, you don't get to talk.
Yeah, but Bradley Beal's 25.
But you're wanna not out here criticizing Josh Richardson every time he has a worse game than Bradley Beal.
See, I was on the criticizing Josh Richardson train early.
Yeah, you were OG on that.
Yeah, I was.
Consider this though, he's pulling a Dwayne Wade here. He's trying to lure Zion Williamson to Miami, much like Wade lured LeBron to Miami, just in a different way.
It doesn't work like that with the draft.
Yeah. He's playing great up until the fourth quarter, where he loses the game for us. But
him and Spo in cahoots then.
He's establishing himself as a star. He'll make the All-Star game. That's a great networking opportunity for upcoming free agents.
Light years.
Meanwhile, we're getting Zion. So you got to think three steps ahead on this.
Justin's connection calls friends, though.
Jared seems like such a cool dude, though. Like, networking at the All-Star game probably be, like, really helpful. He won't make it because they won't win. But I thought something really – so after that loss to Atlanta – so for those of you who are not really into the Twitter stuff, our network boss and longtime journalist and radio host Ethan Skolnick has been saying pretty much since the start. He's like, well, this team's not any good. And Alf and I think I've been a little louder than Alf, but Alf and I in particular have been telling Ethan, like, Ethan, this is not a horrible team. They're an average 500 team. They're not bad. And they have this really rough start. And Alf and I were continually saying, like, it's okay. They'll figure it out. And then, like, this is happening. And then after that loss to Atlanta, I told Ethan.
Yeah, but they're not as bad as that loss to Atlanta. The problem with the loss to Atlanta is you keep playing shitty-ass lineups. I'm sorry, Brian. Write that down. Oh, it's not going on Dash. I can say shitty.
It's okay.
Brian, Alf is free.
Free as a bird. Anyway.
So, yeah,
it's not. The team isn't that bad. James Johnson is bad. Hassan Whiteside is bad.
I mean, that's
37 minutes of Rodney Magruder is bad. But, like, the team, I mean, the plus minus on-off numbers with the guys that we actually want to see play, they're not a bad team. But and Christian Hernandez, the Maple Rick, put it out there this week. That thread he put out about the minutes that these guys are playing, it becomes increasingly obvious that either Spo is mad at Riley and is taking the season, or they're all in cahoots and they're taking the season together, or Spo is just the worst coach ever.
Like, Spo has always been super quirky with the beginning of the season.
But quirky is one thing. Intentionally not playing your best lineups is a completely other thing. Like, this is past quirky. This is straight up sabotage at this point.
I will say, I remember when the Luol Deng, Hassan Whiteside, and Chris Bosh thing was going on in the moment. And I remember all of us saying that the statistics show that the team is better with Deng on the four and with one big, either Hassan or Chris Bosh. And Spoelstra continually tried to play two bigs together up until one of them was...
Yeah, but okay. So what was the difference there?
An injury.
The difference there was you were building towards something. You're not building towards a James Johnson, Rodney Magruder playoff team. Like, you're not building towards that. So at this point, it's not... Like, there was a reason to try to, like, make the Hassan Bosh thing work. Like, there was a reason for it. There's no reason to not give Justice Winslow closing fourth quarter minutes, especially in a game that he was playing well and he was leading the comeback.
I don't really disagree with taking him out late just because he's an offensive liability. And I understand down the stretch, you like basketball can get very specific at the end of games and teams can like, okay, we're going to let Justice beat us. And I understand Spoelstra not being confident in Justice making a layup. You know, I get that. Like, while you and I may disagree and we want Justice out there, I understand his thinking when he's saying, I don't really want like him out there late.
But 1 minute of the kids together?
No, that's the part that bothers me is that they're not playing Bam, Richardson, and Winslow together. And I know if anybody asks Spoelstra why, you know what he's going to say. Oh, no, we like our system. We think we have enough. We're just getting guys healthy, blah, blah, blah. So, like, you know, he'll give his, you know, Spo answers for everything. But I think it's really easy on this team, especially when you have such redundant skill sets like James Johnson and Justice Winslow, Rodney.
To me, it would make more sense if the kids together were a negative lineup and Spo kept forcing them out there. That would make sense to me. Like, because, okay, you're trying to build for the future. You're trying to see what these guys can do together. But the reverse doesn't make sense. Like, the only thing that you can look at it and say is that they're tanking. It's purposeful.
I don't know about that, man. Because, like, so they'll put out Bam and Hassan together, and that's, like, that doesn't work either. And you see Spo trying it and then having a hook. He's like, no, this isn't working. So, you know, I see what he's doing. I don't understand the trepidation of putting the three out there and playing those guys together, or giving Bam and Olynyk, which we know to be a very positive like duo together, more minutes. And I don't know how much of this is managing contracts and just like, you know, we have to play Hassan or we have to play like these people.
Is Hassan useless again?
I don't know, Jack. Man. Like that was not.
I wonder what Jack thinks, because like Jack is, I feel like Jack sometimes holds himself back, but he wants to say Hassan is useless again.
I don't think Hassan is. It depends what you mean by useless. I think he's a productive NBA player who can still give you good minutes, but he's kind of got a weird place in the NBA because there's not really, like, he doesn't belong on a contender accepting limited minutes because you can't really rely on him to close games. But I don't know. I don't think they should be playing him. I think Bam is probably a better player. He probably does more. And
you're trying to be so politically correct.
Yeah, I just think Bam should be playing because he's 21 and Hassan doesn't have a future. I don't know. Yeah, I'm trying not to say that Hassan is probably never going to be a player that you want on your basketball team.
But it's not at the beginning of the season. Like, I don't know if he's hurt again. It's visible now, right? Am I the only one? It's like he does no explosion again, like the end of last year. Can't finish around the rim like the end of last year.
But this whole team has
blocking shots, but we've always known that when Hassan is blocking shots, it doesn't exactly mean he's playing better defense. He looks indecisive as shit on defense now, where at the beginning of the year, he was way more active. He was moving around. I don't know if he's hurt again or like he's just this player that goes through lulls. I have no idea.
I think he's checked out.
I think it's hard to blame a player for being checked out on this team. But it is a consistent problem with Hassan. And if it wasn't, and I think that's what you're saying, Alf, is that if this wasn't a recurring issue, then like it would be understandable if he was going through a lull.
I don't understand being checked. I don't think you can understand being checked out when you're starting the game. Like you're starting the game,
that's fair.
You're on the floor, like at tip off, and you checked out already. Like, and if that's the case, Spo bench him. At this point,
yeah,
there's no increasing his trade value. Like, it's done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what's upsetting me as a Heat fan. Like, I don't mind watching losses. I don't mind watching struggles, but I want it to be leading somewhere. Like, to watch Hassan Whiteside, like, start games and just look lackadaisical and not even look like he wants to be out there and miss layups, like, that's not fun. Like, watching the kids struggle, lose, whatever, I watch that all day long. Even as much as I criticize Josh Richardson, I'd rather watch Josh Richardson try and fail for 82 games than I want to watch Rodney Magruder do the same thing. So, like, as a Heat fan right now, I think the frustrating thing is not the losing. It's just not being able to enjoy, like, the process of it. Oh, God, I said process.
You said process. You said the buzzword.
It's funny to think about, though, because, like, look back a couple of years when we first got Hassan, and we were angry about Spo not playing him enough minutes and bringing him along slow. And now we're seeing the same thing with Bam, but I think the difference is the league values Bam, clearly, and even if you don't value him long-term and you maybe don't think he can be the star that some people think he can be, you can raise his trade value. Hassan is static. Nobody's falling for Hassan.
Yeah, man. Like, and it's, Jack, you're saying this. You said it like exactly right. No one's falling for it. So there is no more increasing his trade value. So what is the point right now? What's the point?
Hassan, like, by the way,
10 good games of Hassan Whiteside is not convincing anybody to trade for him.
Maybe Mark Cuban.
Well, maybe Mark Cuban, but he already has that other jackass. Yeah. What's his name?
DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah, and he's he's Hassan with self-awareness.
I kind of want to bring up a couple things, just kind of add some background to our discussion. So Whiteside's last 2020 game was on November 20th. He had 21 points, 23 rebounds, one steal, two blocks, and 32 minutes against the Nets. In Brooklyn. Ooh. And then right afterwards, he got diagnosed with knee tendonitis. He sat out of practice the day after. And then he also missed a game on Friday before the game against...
You go. He's hurt again.
Yeah, he's hurt. He's been dealing with
knee tendonitis. So why are we starting him? Like, I don't know.
I mean, he sat out that game, and then that's Bam's kind of breakout game so far this season when he had over 20 boards.
The Heat are also... The Heat are also 2 points better defensively with Hassan off the court, and I know early in the season that wasn't the case. So that's been a recent development. I know that when he was on the court, the defense.
So was actually good. The average has gone to 2 points, because it was swung huge at the beginning of the season. So that means there's been a huge dip for the average to get to 2 points.
Honestly, like, looking at the on-off numbers, there's only three Heat players that have a positive net rating on the team when they're on the court. And that'd be Bam Adebayo, that's Kelly Olynyk, and that's Josh Richardson. And then Duncan Robinson is a zero. So they're not really getting a lot from their guys, like, in terms of.
But I would contend, look at, like, the last 2 weeks.
Well, the problem with the last 2 weeks, and kind of to borrow what Stan Van Gundy was saying on the Levitard Local Hour today, was. Guys are, this team has been very, very injured. Like, not even counting Deion Waiters, but this is a team that has guys in and out of the lineup, and that's almost worse. So, like, if you lose a guy to, like, I don't know, an ACL, you know in your mind, okay, like, we're not going to be with this guy for, like, extended periods of time. Every day, they don't know who's going to be in and out of the lineup, the coaching staff and the players. So it's like, when is Dwayne Wade coming back? When is Goran coming back? And in the beginning of the season, it was, why isn't, like, when is Wayne going to be? No, let me finish. And you have a rotating door of players in and out of the lineup. And at that point, like Stan Van Gundy said, you don't have depth. Like, this team striked with depth. So now they don't have depth. Now they don't have Tyler Johnson. Now they don't have Goran. And guys cannot get continuity with role and rhythm. So I do think that's a big part of why they've been playing so bad. And the, like, the defense has stayed top 10. The defense is still miraculously top 10.
No, I'm going to let Jack go, because I've talked so much. Go ahead, Jack, because I feel like we have
this. We've said this every year. They're always injured. And at some point,
last year they weren't, and they were fine.
They were a first round.
I know, but
they weren't hurt last year. Hassan got hurt after the first game of the season. Was that
true? They were injured all last year. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but they, Deion, they have like Hassan. Everybody's out of the damn lineup.
Has everyone was the same thing last year.
The only Deion people that haven't missed time.
Been hurt for the entire season almost.
Except we maximized
the lineup missed time. Last year. Ellington's missed time. JJ's missed time. Tyler's missed time.
They all missed time last year, dude.
Like Dwayne missed time. Like we Justice missed time. Half the damn
we're purposely
team.
Purposely doing the reverse.
It's been 20 games and like half the team has missed time.
Okay, Gianni, that doesn't mean you don't play your best players.
Okay, we're not talking. I 100% agree with
but
that.
But that's why the team is bad.
I think it's both, man. It can be both.
It's definitely both.
If they were 100% healthy, you think they'd be this bad?
They'd be a 500
team.
But
that's what
Waff
and I have said all damn year. So yeah, it's like Ethan and everyone's hitting the damn panic button. Like, this team is horrible. Like, tank season, fire sales.
Yeah, this team is horrible. We should definitely tank because there's no point of salvaging this season
that's
anymore.
That's fine. But what I'm...
And I've had some of our listeners DM, or not even DM, just at the Heatbeat account, talking about how Dwayne Wade should be sent off on his glorious playoff run one last time.
He should be.
And I'm just thinking, there's no point of having that again this season. You have to look towards the future and stop living in the past.
That's fine, but I'm talking about the logistics on how they're playing and the reality of what the hell is going on. And I do think that when guys get healthy, they're going to start winning games.
But I don't think you can do that when they're...
You think they're always going to be hurt, Jack? Jack, you're also the person that said Embiid was never going to be healthy in the NBA. That's something you said on this podcast.
Yeah.
So far, you've been wrong. I don't think he's missed time since.
And I think I was right about
Clay Thompson.
Okay, no. But even if they're at peak health, which is unlikely, they'll always have something going on. Even if they're at peak health and they get that consistency, they're a 500
team. That's fine, but that's all we're saying.
That's a borderline playoff team. That's not exciting for Wade. I don't give a shit about Wade throwing up shots in a four-game sweep in the first round.
You clearly don't remember that Celtics series in 2010.
Okay, but G, I think I don't know. I think we're losing focus on what the argument is here. The argument is it's the reason that they're this bad, losing to the Hawks at home, is not because of injuries, right? It's not because of injuries. It is because of lineup decisions.
I think it's both.
And either we get on the Spo doesn't know what he's doing train, or Spo does know exactly what he's doing train. And the problem is, like, we are apologists for Spo so much. And I love Spo. And I'm on the Spo knows exactly what he's doing train. Right? I think they're doing this purposely. But my point is, I don't agree with this approach. Now, you're saying that Spo is coaching like he normally would coach. Spo is coaching to win, and they're just not good enough. I don't believe that for a second. I think if you had 25 minutes on the court of Justice, Josh Richardson, Bam, they were starting, and that was your focal point, this team would be a lot better than they are right now. Would they be 500? Probably 500. I'm not saying they're world beaters. But what I am saying is, the decisions that they're making right now, the people that they're playing, consistently playing Hassan Whiteside, is for a purpose. And that purpose, to me, is that they're tanking. But my problem is that approach is so bad for the fan base and it's so bad for the viewing audience, and it's just terrible basketball. And, like, you're going to turn off a lot of people. I think we could be 500, miss the playoffs, get a lottery pick while playing and maximizing the lineups and maximizing the young guys without going this route, without me having to watch James Johnson figure out how to play basketball again, without having to watch Hassan Whiteside soak up and down the court, without having to watch 37 minutes of fucking Rodney Magruder, bro. 37 minutes of Rodney Magruder. Just shoot me in the fucking face, bro. I like Rodney Magruder. I like him a lot. Like, he's a fun player. He's a nice guy. I mean, the sweetest guy in the world. He hustles so hard. He tries so hard. But shoot me in the fucking face if I have to watch 37 minutes of Rodney Magruder playing basketball. No team in the league would play Rodney Magruder 37 minutes. Rodney Magruder is an 18-minute-a-night hustle guy. We start him at small forward. Like, kiss my ass. This shit is terrible. Like, I don't know what this is. Like, I don't want to watch it anymore. And know what the worst part is? I'm going to keep watching every night. tomorrow night, Friday night, I'm going to carve out 2.5 hours of my goddamn night.
Pete Pels.
I'm going to watch Rodney Magruder, James Johnson, and Hassan Whiteside bump into each other for 40 fucking minutes. And I'm going to be livid. I'm going to be mad. At the end of the game, I'm going to be mad. And I'm going to complain. I'm a bitch on Twitter. I'm going to go on rant.
You're going to hate
Drew
Holiday.
I'm going to get mad because then Christian Hernandez the next morning is going to put out threads and tweets and fucking stats of how good Justice and Josh and Bam were and how shitty JJ Hassan and Dwayne and whoever the fuck it was. Like, I don't want to watch the season. Like, And maybe I'm being selfish. Maybe the better thing is to play Rodney Magruder for 37 minutes. Like, Rodney Magruder 37 minutes is the way to get Zion.
No, but you can still tank while playing the young guys.
But that's my thing, Jack. That's what I'm saying. Like, we could have fun this season and still get a good draft.
I think if you want to tank, Udonis Haslam is minus 42 per 100 possessions.
Oh, I can't wait till we get the kids line up with Udonis. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, that's the perfect way to end, one, Udonis's career, and to get Zion, and to see the young kids grow. Dude, that's the perfect
season. Jack, you guys. Are you on board with starting lineup, the kids, Dwayne Wade and Udonis? Let's fucking go. Let's have a good time. Like, let's go. Like,
that might win.
That lineup should play 40 minutes a night. I'm here for it.
That might win.
That team.
How pissed would Whiteside be?
Who gives a shit?
I know. That's why it's so fucking awesome.
Just let him stay home. Like, let him.
Can I be honest? I kind of like the sound of that lineup. Is that bad?
That's a perfect lineup.
Is that bad that I like? I like.
Is it nice enough to rub your nipples, G?
I like that. You know, like I kind of like the sound of, you know, UD give some toughness, and you know, Dwayne's the ball handler closer guy for that. Yeah, I'm in on that.
You get point justice. You get tons of UD and Dwayne minutes. You get Bam.
Oh, man. I mean, Alf, I'm living for, like, UD setting a screen and Wade just completely ignoring it, just like the old days.
Oh, you get Bam at the five? Like, glorious shit. Like, it'd be great. And they would lose a ton of games.
It would be so bad. And that's perfect.
Honestly, Dennis, like, you did it.
If they're going to tank, I want to get, like, the old gang back together. Like, I want to get Chris Anderson out of retirement. I just want to get, like, I want to get Rio. Like, I just want to get my favorites and, like,
call
get out there
Brian
and
Grant.
Let's play shitty basketball. Like, let's
what? No.
Call up Brian.
Like, I want my favorites. Like, get Shane out of the front office. Like, come on.
What is Ray for Alston?
I'm telling you. Would you break plans?
How much money Ray for Alston could make on this season gambling against the Heat?
Alf, if tomorrow I told you, you have plans, you had a great date, and I told you, Alf, cancel your date because Dwayne Wade, Mario Chalmers, Chris Birdman Anderson, Shane Battier, and UD are taking the court together.
I just I put Chris Bosh out there in a
hype. Chris Bosh as coach. Assistant coach.
No, bulletproof glass, like, where his feet stick out and he could move up and down the court.
Get Juwan back on the court.
Like, if we get Marcus Camby on that roster, too?
Marcus Camby needs to find his way into a Heat executive role. Like, he's a Heat lifer at this point.
Like, I'm sorry, guys. Like, I mean, do you guys enjoy watching James Johnson play right now?
Not now.
No, I've never enjoyed James Johnson.
James Johnson's okay if you're winning. Honestly, you know what I want back really bad? I want Dion.
I was about to say Luol Deng.
I want Luol.
You know what's
Deng
funny? And so I hate that I'm gonna say this. I think, like, if Dion was, like, not hurt, I think he would help.
Of course
he would help.
We're
that's
at
the
point
problem
of the season where
oh my
we
God,
start.
Please,
like,
I hope he never comes back because you knew he's gonna ruin the whole tank process.
You know,
it's gonna be 30-11.
It's his fault that we went 30-11. Yes,
guys,
what would one happen again?
I have a. You know, it's funny. Dion is like the
symbol.
Then
his ass back home to Philly.
Dion is the symbol for, like, this Heat era. I have a question for. I know how Brian's gonna answer for Jack and for Alf. I put this on Twitter on the Heatbeat account. Vote at MI Heatbeat to follow us there and all their stuff. I give you the 30-11. Like, so I'm gonna tell you the Heat are gonna go 11-30 for their first 41 games. And I'll promise you an 11-30 finish with the moments that Dion Waiters had, except it's Dwayne Wade having those moments, and they miss the playoffs by a game. Do you take
11-30 finish or 30-11 finish?
30-11 finish.
Give it to me again. Give it to me again.
Could you imagine D Wade hitting a game winner against the damn Warriors at home? Come on, Jack.
Honestly, I don't believe in the draft at all. So fuck the draft. I just want cap space in 2020.
Here's the thing. If it's Dwayne Wade and not Dion, Do we pay Dwayne Wade Dion's contract?
I sure hope so.
No, he's talking about this season, Jack.
This season? Oh, no. Hell no. Of course not.
I'd take that, dude. I would take that. You know, let me tell you something. That poll got over 1,000 votes, and it's like damn near like almost 50-50.
Didn't the lottery odds change? Like, you could be, you might still be able to get into the top three with a what do we get, the 10th pick on that draft?
The league owes them.
The 10th pick would be 3%.
They owe us for 2008.
They really do.
Yeah.
They really do.
Make it happen.
NBA.
They should sign Michael. They should trade for Michael Beasley.
Yeah, Michael Beasley, Mario Chalmers. Like, those are the guys. Those are the washed up vets I wouldn't mind watching.
Remember what they had upside?
Greg Oden. Oh, there you go. What's that? What's the fat guy's name?
Eddie Curry?
Which one?
Dexter Pittman?
No, the one that we got was from the Bulls.
Eddie Curry.
Bring Eddie Curry back.
Do you remember when Spo would use Jamal McGlure as a matchup for the Lakers because they played two bigs? Do you remember when that was a thing in the Big Three era? That when the Lakers went big with Bynum and Pau Gasol, Spoelstra would trot out Jamal McGlure, who would never play any other game in the season except for against the Lakers.
The funniest thing ever was when when Lebatard said that Eric Dampierre looked like he played basketball in chocolatas.
So true.
Because I don't know why it's so fucking true, but it is so true.
You know what's crazy about that era of Heat basketball? Now Miami has like two centers, like that. Now they have like too many centers, and they found like Willie Reed in the garbage.
Dude,
and, like,
that first year they had like 4 7-footers.
Dude, but like none of them were any good, and they couldn't catch lobs.
They had Zydrunas, they had McGlure.
Oh, Zydrunas.
They had Dampierre, and they had Juwan, who was
Alf,
like 6'11".
Could you imagine?
They had Dexter Pittman. They had Ronnie Turiaf.
Holy shit.
The bum of New York.
Ronnie Turiaf was such a good cheerleader, bro.
Alf, could you imagine if in 2018, like, a contender tried to play Zydrunas Ilgauskas big minutes?
Holy shit.
Dude, could you imagine somebody goes into Golden State with Zydrunas Ilgauskas playing 15 minutes? Oh, my God.
We're on the road to Zion, guys. We're on the road to Zion.
What a time. That was such a time, man.
Set your eyes to Zion.
If Hassan had JaVale McGee's mentality, wouldn't he be? He'd be fine, right?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I mean, JaVale oftentimes ran at the wrong basket.
Honestly, I'm okay with that, but he just tries hard, plays defense, doesn't even. Honestly, if you ask JaVale right now, JaVale, do you deserve the ball in the post? JaVale would be like, no, because I'm kind of trash.
Because he plays with LeBron, too. LeBron makes the decisions.
Like, no, even before LeBron, I think JaVale would say, no, I'm just happy to be here. I'm glad that I'm tall and people like me. And
I wonder if during the Big Three, Hassan would demand post-ups. Probably right.
Exactly.
I think LeBron would kind of get him in check, or he would get shipped off.
I don't think he would have lasted. Just like the people on that team just...
Yeah, the personality fit isn't there. Like Joel, Dwayne kind of... Like,
Joel was the perfect center for that team.
I miss Joel Anthony. Although Bam has a little Joel Anthony in him that he's just missing point blank.
Whoa.
I mean, listen, Joel, defensively, I mean, he was nicknamed the Warden and got MVP chance. Listen, I'm not here to slander.
Yeah, chill out.
I love Joel. My biggest problem with Bam is that I don't know if it's Spo or I don't know if it's Bam's personality. Look at the fucking basket, bro. Like, look at the basket.
Al, say what you want to say. These millennials are soft and they're too nice.
We discussed this on Light Skin Opinions the other night. I passed a cutoff for millennial. Like, millennials are 35 and under, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what am I?
Gen X.
I'm like nothing.
You're nothing?
You might be. It's.
I know I'm not Generation X.
You're not? Is that after millennial or before millennial?
I think I'm like Gen Y or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Oh,
millennial sounds cool. I kind of like it. Jack, do you like it? Do you like being called a millennial?
That's fine. It's whatever.
I love millennials because like they blame you guys for everything when it's all the fucking greatest generation's fault.
It's not Riley's fault.
It's all like Riley's fault and they blame you guys.
It's true.
Oh, millennials are lazy. Millennials have like 3 fucking jobs and can't afford their rent. Kiss my ass.
I'd like to know where Pat Riley was when the housing market crashed.
On a yacht.
Raking it in, probably.
Hi, this is Craig Mish from Swings and Mishes here on the 5 Reasons Podcast Network.
Just in case you missed any of our podcasts in the past, here's what you missed.
We have been extremely aggressive in trying to acquire additional international dollars, not just for, you know, potential free agents with two first names. It's nice that, that ownership is fully supportive and allowing us to do everything in our power to be the best team in this region and the gateway to America and for Miami to become a destination spot for all Latin players because, you know, this is such an international city.
Hey, it's Josh Appel.
And Mr. Bill 11.
Now, we are from Smark Your Territory, the Five Region Sports Network's resident wrestling podcast, coming at you live on tape every Wednesday from the Fortress of Smark.
Join us on the fringes of the smattering for some not-so-serious pro wrestling talk.
It's Smark Your Territory every Wednesday on the Five Region Sports Network.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, schedule package pickups through the dashboard, and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.